any typos in this are serious fault because she's a goddamn fucking whore of a slut. And my mom would be like, well, she translated that perfectly.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have returning guest Tony Miller. He's here to talk about street epistemology, or how do atheists talk to people who aren't atheists?
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
It's Molly Glover.
And Nick Glover.
That's me, one.
Hello. We are
back. We're definitely not replaced by robots.
We are back in the beautiful living room studios at Deepwood Mott, joined by our good friend and road Rennie, Tony Miller.
Thank you.
Hello, Tony. Welcome back.
Hi, guys. Good to see you again.
It's so good to have you back. So we're just going to get into the topic you wanted to talk about. So I'm going to let you introduce. What do you want us to talk about on today's episode?
I really would like to get into street. It's called street epistemology. And epistemology is just a series of ways and structures that define what you believe as opposed to just having an opinion. That's kind of the definition. Street epistemology actually comes out of this very nice gentleman whose name, unfortunately, I forgot. I heard about it in the Atheist Experience out of Austin. He engages believers and theists in the street by the simple question of, can I ask you a question? What do you believe? And why? Now, I took that, and he just does it like 5 minutes at a time, 5-10 minutes. And he listens, because it's been said, and you guys, we've talked about this before, how you engage a believer is not necessarily change their beliefs, but people listening in or watching it.
Yeah.
It can plant seeds. The reason I wanted to talk about street epistemology, or at least engaging in theists, and I'm not just talking Christians, because as Renaissance Festival guys, in fact, all of us here have been or have been entertainers, because your next guest, Byron Miller.
Who's in the room.
Hi, Byron.
He was a ninja dude.
We also have, in the room just happens to be Jeff Nepple and Tim's kid, so we're all entertainer people.
There are a variety of beliefs in the Renaissance festivals.
Yeah.
Much more concentrated. There's a lot more woo.
Yeah.
There are a lot
of woo pagan stuff.
Oh my God, there's so much woo pagan stuff.
Pagan, Wiccan, all flavors, and what's nice about pagan and Wiccan stuff, as far as I'm concerned, because it's kind of a new thing in the United States, it's very obvious that they just kind of make the shit up as they go. That's fine. The only difference between them and Christianity, Judaism, and Islam is they just had more centuries to accrete to it.
They have more books.
And more people.
Yeah.
Power. Centralized power.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like the Wiccans and the Pagans, like they don't have a central book. Like there's like if you wanna have like the book, there's like you gotta go find like 8 Llewellyn books to try to like track down what you're supposed
made up
to
a
do.
Different bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I actually got contacted yesterday. There's a young couple coming down from Iowa who want a Wiccan marriage.
Ah.
And I started talking to him. I was like, well, are you Gardnerian Wiccans? You know, the original movement from...
Dianic?
Or are you more Private Path or whatever? They really didn't have any idea.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, do you want me to invoke the four guardians? I speak a lot of different geeks.
Yep.
And these guys really, they call themselves Wiccan. They call themselves pagan. They really don't have a strong understanding of what it is. And that's fine.
Are you going to say as above, so below at some point?
No, but I will say so mote it be.
There you go.
And I will do the sacred. Byron Early had been gracious enough to loan me a broom and a wand.
Yep.
And a wand.
That's great. And you can do hand fast. Actually, hand fast.
We're going to do hand fasting.
Very cool.
I will invoke the guardians, create the sacred circle, ask if they want to actually be blessed from their own book of shadows. And they went, the what? I went, we got it.
Going to be sky clad at the arbor? Or
They might not. I didn't even bring that up because homie don't do sky clad.
Emperor's new wedding attire.
Yeah.
They're sky clad, but only under their clothes.
But when we engage these people, and we should almost do a co-one right here, but Byron and I have engaged these people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have. where you step into pagan and Wiccan beliefs, and it's so amorphous.
As a broom and magic wand maker, it's a job hazard.
I imagine.
Yeah.
I have engaged a few times, but it's usually more of a, boy, I'm just not going to talk to that person about that stuff anymore. Like the time that someone said, you know, they don't want to fuck with me because I'm a pagan and I know shit and I can really fuck someone up, like, with the shit I know, like dark, like, I guess they were going to cast spells.
Yeah.
Really going to mess someone up.
Like, they're messing with the wrong witch.
Yeah.
Gonna go light some candles angrily.
I had an exchange after a show that I watched earlier this year, which the show is called Book of Shadows, and it was a dance show in which there was a storyteller who would read off these spells that she'd written as a teenager.
Oh, boy.
And then there would be a dance, and it's a horror show, so the dances were often very dark.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so while the storytelling was often comedic and light, then there were these dark dances about the dark side of witchcraft. Now, interestingly enough, the dances were choreographed by a friend of the show, Aaron. And I'm losing her last name right now. Dang it.
Kennedy?
No.
Anderson.
The dance choreographer.
Oh.
Aaron.
Shepherd.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Aaron Shepherd. So she's an atheist, but you know, she's choreographing these dances, and I was with somebody who is more of a believer and who has some experience with Wiccan beliefs. And so we're walking away, and she's talking about how it bothered her, how some of these spells were really dark magic, and that really got to her. And she was like, you know, did it, you know, and she's like, does that make any sense? I'm like, sure, I did. I went through a pagan phase. And she's like, you know, so did that bother you? I'm like, well, no, because I just don't believe it anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, it didn't bother me anyway, because these are spells by a 13-year-old. Yeah. So you're sitting there going, oh, love spells are evil. I'm like, whatever. She's a 13-year-old. She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was my, that's the one example I have recently. And I mean, I kind of felt like I probably engaged in the wrong way, because I was really kind of dismissive. I was just like, I just don't believe in it anymore. So it sort of washes over me as, well, this is the same kind of fiction as Star Wars to me.
One of the reasons I wanted to step into it, because this bit I do is Question Man, especially in North Carolina, I get more children, two adults. Oh man, I had this one, I'll get to her later, but they'll just come straight up. Do you believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, and then basically
in North Carolina, so weird.
Well, and it happens here a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota, North Carolina are the two ones that I get asked the most. And then I start the whole Socratic method, which is, well, which God do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Which God are you referring to? Oh, the Christian God. And then I talk about an evidentiary-based thought system. Belief system of mine is more evidence-based. Can you prove this beyond personal experience?
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk to personal experience. If someone says that, I've experienced ghosts. All right. I'm not going to argue with that.
Right.
Now, if they say, because of that, ghosts are real. Oh, okay, now we can step into something.
Right.
The pagans, and Tim, you just brought up something. Doesn't it bother you to do, you know, dark magic or stuff like that? Well, I don't believe it anymore. A lot of times, we, as atheists, know more about their belief systems and religion than they do. Particularly if you've been raised in a Christian family like I was.
I think if you've been raised in any religion...
Yeah.
Any religion where your parents, you know, are the source of where you got your religious knowledge, you know, and the institution. I'm sure that there are just as many Jewish and Muslim people out there raised in their faith who don't really know much about it either, other than what, you know, like their quick basics.
I think like the path to atheism, when you start with theism, part of that path is going, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the reasons... Especially that atheists that start from theism, I think it's one of the reasons that we tend to know more about, especially the religion we came from, but often other religions, because we start going, none of this makes sense to me. I need to dive deeper to try and figure out what's really going on.
Yeah, we ask ourselves, do any of these things make sense?
Yeah.
I think it depends a lot on the family and a lot on the person. I think it's a hard generalization to make, because when I look at my cousins, who were all raised pretty Christian, like, some of them, their response to being raised Christian with a Lutheran minister grandfather was to go into the seminary and, like, actually take upon themselves to go and delve into it and become educated in it because of their upbringing. Like, I don't know, like, some people, sure, they get raised Christian and they never think about it,
mm-hmm.
and they never put any thought into it, and maybe they go to Sunday school, or they go through Catholic, whatever, catechisms.
Yeah. Catechism.
Yeah, and maybe there's some of that, but they never really question why or what they believe in. They just know, I'm Christian, and that means Jesus, or whatever. But I don't know that that's always the case.
It isn't. Although, if you want to make an atheist quick, have a Christian go into seminary school. Because when they find out the actual origins of the Bible, the different
authors,
ideologies, yeah. the different authors, the different non-authors, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of the books of the Bible, we don't know what the authors are. Mm-hmm. When we start asking questions of theists, it's readily apparent, and you just brought this up, Nick. A lot of people, yeah, I'm Christian because it says so in the Bible. Really? And then when you start delving in, it makes them very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because right. they don't have the knowledge base. Now, it's easy to slap these people around like wet fish in a barrel. That's easy.
Yeah, what's just bring out the Book of Job.
Oh, jeez. yeah. Or, wow, I just thought of a really filthy joke, which I really can't tell.
Why not? But,
what podcast do you think you're on?
Guys, it's really bad.
Please tell the joke.
We won't judge you.
Okay. For a long time, I had the worst joke that I've ever heard, and then someone told me this one, and it is, but it's, yeah, anyway. So in the book of Psalms, yeah, it's one of the Psalms, it talks about the delight of dashing your enemy's children's heads against the wall, dashing their brains upon the rocks. And so the joke was, what do you call that when you grab a baby by the ankles and bash its heads against a wall? Well, I don't know either, but I keep getting erections.
All right, anyway, so we're terrible people.
So, okay, but I think, so what's your point about how people get uncomfortable when you start to actually delve into the Bible and stuff because they don't have the knowledge base, that's something that we've actually discussed before, the idea that, and it's just, like, Tim encounters it when he says he doesn't drink. And when someone's like, can I get you a beer? Oh, I don't drink. Oh. And it's just like, it feels like a judgment back on you, the drinker.
Well, and it's because the immediate response is usually like, oh, and there's also like, I offered a drink to an alcoholic.
Right.
And
or like, oh, why not?
No, I just don't like it.
No, I just don't like it. Oh. Yeah. And so like I think that when you have the whole like, do you believe in God? No, I don't. There's that instant, they're instantly on the defensive in that sense of like, oh. Well, what do you think you know so much better than me about? Like, why do you think you know more? Like, it's weird.
Actually, it is a defensive thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it throws them back and it makes them very uncomfortable because a lot of religions, and we've talked about this before, a lot of religions set up the atheist straw man.
Yeah.
Atheists are like this. They believe this. But when they're in front of someone, and I'm going to bring up this woman whose name I'm not going to use because I don't have permission for this. Mm-hmm. The young Catholic girl who we had a 45-minute discussion, an actual discussion, and there was about four or five times she literally pursed her lips and breathed really heavy. She was like, and I asked her, are you okay? She goes, yes, I just don't know how to answer that question. I went, that's totally fair. I said, I'm much older than you are. I've done a lot of thinking about this. It's totally fair to say, I don't know, but maybe you might want to just go check that out. And so at the end of it, she wanted to shake my hand and she goes, I know this probably doesn't mean anything, but is it all right if I pray for you? I said, absolutely. I'll think for you and you have a good day. I gave her my business card. I wrote down my email, but I said, if you have any questions, and I do this on a regular basis, if you have any questions, you know, just contact me. She contacted me.
Oh, wow.
2 weeks later.
Wow.
And she asked me some more questions about if a Bible or if a book falls off a table, is there a cause to it? If there's smoke, will there be fire? I mean, some real basic causal logic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started asking about, well, if mankind didn't come around by chance, then surely there's some sort of intelligent entity. She does the God of the Gaps thing.
Yeah.
And she also does there has to be a cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there has to be the initial cause, then there has to be someone.
The first cause argument.
The first cause argument. Yeah. Thank you.
Which ignores the whole idea that if there had to be a first cause.
What caused that?
that also had to be caused. You can't you can't go, well,
it's turtles the whole way down. Yes. Yes.
We have a hard time as humans thinking beyond just binary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, old, young. We have a really tough concept with eternal or infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has been, boy, in the last 15 years, an argument laid forth by cosmologists. This might be eternal. The cosmos within which our universe lives, our universe is everything we can pretty much, if not see, at least speculate. The cosmos is everything,
mm-hmm.
that which our universes are expanding into.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is kind of cool. What if this is always eternal? What if it's been going on? The Planck instant that we can take back as far as we can mathematically. And I brought this up to this young woman, and she goes, well, what happened before that? Surely God caused that. I said, no, that's not how we do this. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference a lot of times between good skeptics. And I say good because, yeah, my ego is involved in this a little bit. But skeptics who are worth their weight in salt,
mm-hmm.
readily say, I don't know.
Yep.
And we don't try to fill
in. And that's
in.
Okay.
And that's not only okay, it's thrilling.
Because mm-hmm.
that's where we go find out knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your faith believers and more evangelical and conservative faith believers, if they don't know, and there's a lot they don't know, once you start adding logical fallacies and inconsistency, especially with the Bible, they say, well, that was just God.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to have faith.
Yep.
And it's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. So I've had a couple of managers who were Christian, and like, I'm out atheist at work. It's not like I'm wearing t-shirts or anything or talking about it, but like when it came up, and one of my managers, he was a super cool dude, but he and I, it was when I was in sales, and we were on a business trip together, and we were just me and him having a beer while waiting for our flight. And he was like, so let me, he's such a nice guy, and he's from South Carolina, so he's super kind, and just, he is a Southern gentleman in all the best ways. Like, and he's just like, may I ask you, you know, so you're an atheist. And I said, yes, I am. And he's like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to know, what do you think happens when we die then? And I was like, I think nothing. I said, I think I become, you know, particles of light and bits of atoms, and I'm still, you know, I'm just scattered around. And he's like, but your consciousness. I'm like, yeah, nothing. And he's like, but doesn't that just sound awful? I'm like, it sounds like nothing. Like, it doesn't sound good or bad. It sounds like nothing. It's nothing.
It's nothing I'm going to have an opinion about what happens.
There's no judgment on it or moralizing of it or deciding what it's like. You know, it won't matter.
And I think we would all rather there be some continuation of life after death, but I would also rather there be dragons and unicorns.
See, life after death sounds exhausting to me. To be perfectly honest, when I was a kid, I was really upset about the idea of heaven and hell, and not just the punishment part, but the fact that, like, I was gonna have to, like, live forever. However I was when I died sounded really awful. I peppered my mom with questions about, like, so, like, Mama's really old. Is she gonna be really old in heaven? She'll be old, like, forever old, and her bones will hurt. I was like, no, when you're in heaven, you're perfect. And it's like, so what age is she? It's like, well, she'll just be fine. She'll just be happy. I'm like, so like 30? Like 20? Like a kid? Like
did your mom start doing backstory to try to fill in?
No, it was probably more of a like, go play outside. but so then I had another boss who was Mormon. And when he found out I was an atheist, he was very shocked. It shocked him. He had never met an atheist before, as far as he knew, in his whole life. And
he was wrong.
He was, yes. But he was just like, he was just like blinking, mouth kind of opening and closing. And he was just like, well, you seem like you're a good person. Mm-hmm. And you're very smart. And you're very logical and nice and kind. And I'm like, yep.
I don't see you killing kids.
Yeah. And he was like, okay. And that was all he said. And he didn't say anything else about it ever. It was just this, like, and it never came up again. But it was just this, like he just, you could see his brain, like, chewed on it for a second. And it was like somewhere in his brain, atheist shifted just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit
on the spectrum,
and
you know?
And that happens with any group or person that you're prejudiced against. As soon as you meet them in flesh, then you have to shift your perspective, going, oh, they're an interesting person.
That's how we got same-sex marriage legalized, was families door-knocking and being like, hi, you know, this is me and my wife. These are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just wanted to say hi,
you know,
and we're normal people.
That's, this is a taking a geek reference, honestly, the reason that I don't make fun of furries is because I know some.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I talk to him and I'm like,
me too.
I don't get it.
I'm really good friends with someone who's, it's really important to him.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't get it. And they talk to me about it. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I still don't get it, but I get why it works.
I understand
for you.
It, but it's not
same.
Like doing anything
it
for
was,
me.
It was David from Convergence.
Yeah.
Yeah. What someone posted about talking shit about furries and I, because it's an easy target and it's fun.
It
I
is
jumped
an easy
in
target.
And it went to a more private group, the conversation, and he was like, it's not even a sex thing. It's just like a wearing a costume, doing a thing, like bringing an inside part of you out. Like it's escapism and play, and I was like, well,
like, well, damn, I can't make fun of that,
right?
Yeah,
I stand on a stage in a costume and wave a wand and pretend that I'm a person pretending to be a person who's pretending to be a wizard.
Yeah.
So like that's a whole thing.
The only thing I will judge is the people that go out to festival on a hot day in a full fursuit. That's dumb.
I also
judge women who are wearing chainmail bikinis with nothing underneath.
Right.
Nipples gonna get pinched, girl. What you doing?
I've done Texas Renaissance Festival for 3 years.
Ooh.
You want to talk chainmail?
Oh man.
There's a privilege and then there's a right. Don't confuse the two. And on one hand, I kind of wanted to make fun, but on the other hand, it's like, man, you got the courage to come out and be
exactly
completely who you want to be.
Yeah.
Right. Fucking on.
Yeah.
So
it's easier to be completely who you want to be when it completely covers your face and hands.
But so back to the street epistemology.
Street epistemology.
Epistemology, like that be who you want to be thing. The idea of, you know, being an out atheist is important, I think, because it is that whole like have the confidence to espouse your own beliefs, which is why when someone is super overtly Christian, as long as they aren't proselytizing, like there's a couple people at our work who will wear shirts from their church. It's weird because we are largely young, barely married or unmarried, very geeky, very educated people and at FFG, and we tend to skew, I think, toward either non-belief or don't care. Levels of it. And so every now and then someone is like, oh, huh, that's a t-shirt from a church. All right, man. Like, it doesn't, and so but that's there should be no problem with that. No, I'm not going to be like, I got a problem with you. I'm going to come up and tell you about how there's no God. You know, like, because why? And then I think that's that angry atheist thing that can really dog us.
Which is every bit as offensive and inappropriate as any other proselyte.
Yeah, yep.
Well, a lot of times the angry atheist trope part of me is still there is because we have to push back against such a hugely Christianized
for sure.
Culture. My mom, before she passed, was always like, why do you always talk about atheism? It's like, well, why do you always go to church? Why do we, everywhere we go in the United States, is there a Christian influence on everything? And we have a political Christianity, which is being used to bludgeon a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's a pushback. But speaking to furries, speaking to geeks, speaking to cons, speaking for me, I had a lot of prejudice against BDSM people. I made a lot of jokes in my early 20s and 30s until I met a guy who was into it. And he just goes, hey, this is what it is. And you're going, just like you guys, oh, you're real people and this is a valid thing. And I started studying more human sexuality and the variation of it. Oh, okay. Well, damn it. I bigoted it anymore.
My easy jokes.
All the fun out of it.
That's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
still can be funny, but like we've talked before about humor.
Well, I think ball gags are hilarious.
I mean, how do you not laugh at the words ball and gag?
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you get balls to actually say gags?
I don't know.
Interesting.
You got to get a rope. Now we're into the whole shibari. All right, so I think that it's important, too, that, like, you know, there's this difference. For me, there's always this difference between choice and not choice. You choose to be... You choose your religion. You do. You choose your belief.
Yeah.
Some people don't think they do. Like, I didn't choose to be Christian. I was born into the Christian. That's just who I am. No, you're choosing it every day.
You choose to continue to be Christian.
Yes. But, like, things like kink... or what turns you on, you don't choose. You just, I mean, that's something that I think you can choose to engage in it, but you can't, you don't get to choose what makes you, gets you excited, whether it's sexually or not. Like, it tends to be, like, I have tried real hard to get into certain shows that my friends say are great, but I just can't. Like, and I think that, so it's like, for me, the difference is, like, I have no problem maybe, like, making fun of somebody's belief system, like, making fun of someone because I found out they voted libertarian. We make fun of Mark for being libertarian all the goddamn time. Like, just constantly.
Well, it's because he's, like, a bad libertarian.
Well, not, but it's not just that. It's like, because that's a choice, right? That's a choice, you know? It's
believing isn't necessarily a choice. You don't...
Oh, that's a good... That's interesting.
To believe in a
God, you... don't
God,
think so?
I think you're absolutely correct.
Interesting.
You believe or you don't.
Yeah.
It's very hard to convince yourself to change your beliefs. It happens. Obviously.
Yeah.
It took me a long time. For me, it took me a long time to become atheist. And then I also hear, I just heard a recent story about someone who met a young 9-year-old girl. Jeff Nepple, who's a ninja and sitting next to me. He was telling me about this young girl who decided she was an atheist when she was 9 years old.
Yeah.
Because it just stopped making sense. I'm like, wow, I'm really impressed with that, because holy shit.
My eldest made that decision without us ever talking to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the reason I say yes, and Byron, maybe when it's your show, well, you can talk to it, but you and I should talk about it later. To believe in a God or not, a lot of times you either do or you don't. It's hard for, and this is where street epistemology comes in. It's like, how strong is your belief?
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who does this starts off with, well, okay, you believe in a God. How strong is your belief on a scale of 1 to 10? It's a 9 or a 10. So, okay. You start asking some simple questions in a Socratic method to just think about some of the problems with the Bible, some of the problems with overarching and intelligent. And by the end of it, he said he's actually brought people down to a 6 or a 7, which in a 10-minute conversation is enormous strides.
Which is why they tell you not to question your faith and all of these religious things.
Yeah.
Which is why the preachers and the pastors and the priests are always saying, don't ask questions, don't ask why, just believe in Jesus, just believe in God.
Stay away from higher education.
Faith, not questions.
It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christian.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
No, it doesn't.
As a Mennonite, and honestly as a lot of mainline Protestant religions, they actively ask you to question their belief.
Mennonites,
Jesuits,
I've heard.
Jesuits do.
Yep.
Quakers do.
Quakers, yeah. There's a whole thing up with it. Like,
built-in systemic foundational questions of faith in
Amish
order to strengthen the faith.
Yep.
Right.
And see, that is a prejudice built into it. And honest to God,
yeah.
That's what took me so long.
Yeah.
Because my brain was fighting itself, because it's like, well, I have all these questions. This really doesn't make sense, getting back to heaven. Even as a young kid, this whole, you'd be sitting on the right hand of God, you know, singing his praises through eternity. Wow,
I
hate church. And
right?
Church is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, an eternity of this?
It's no, like, one can. Doesn't that sound like hell to you? I'm like, wait, I thought hell was supposed to be the bad place.
No one
could
explain
to me. You're convincing me that I'd rather be there.
Right.
No one could explain to me where we went and whether or not I was going to be hungry. And I was like, I'm always hungry. My mom was like, you won't be hungry in heaven. I'm like, so I don't even get to eat? And she was like, well, you know, there's no food. I'm like, this is the worst heaven. Like, I am not interested.
And speaking of heavens, man, there's a lot of Native American heavens. There's the Scandinavian. They sound a lot more awesome. You get to eat and drink and party and kill and go hunt deer. It's like,
Norse
maybe you're reborn.
That's some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Asgard.
Yeah.
The Irish stuff where it's just like a beautiful green meadow where you're just like, there's
maybe
all kinds of great stuff.
Oh, sorry. Valhalla. Maybe if I went to Valhalla, maybe I'd understand why people like beer. I mean, maybe that
I think you'd have to kill a lot of people to go to Valhalla.
You have to be a warrior primarily.
Yeah.
You have to be a warrior to go to Valhalla. But the Asgardian heaven is really awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I learned how
to Or you could go to the Jewish one where everyone goes to the same place, and it's just, I mean, it's fine.
It's pretty much what it is. Anyway, we got to get to 5 questions.
Yay.
So, Tony, you are back.
Yes.
That means you need to ask us 5 questions. So we'll try and go through these fairly quickly.
Okay.
What's your first question?
If there are in the multiverse scenario of possibilities of reality, if you could step into a world that was so much like ours, including with humans, what world would you like to step into? I.e., and I'm going to go first on this because I had to.
Okay.
I would like to step into a world in a parallel timeline where Russia never showed up in California, and Europeans were delayed in coming to the East Coast of the United States by about 300 years.
Hmm.
I would have liked to have seen a continent, however it turned out, of Native American governance. Because the Iroquois were on a really good path to
mm-hmm.
democracies. The Plains Indians had a loose federations, you know, through the Lakota Sioux. I would like to see that develop for hundreds of years. There would be some trading, so you would get some technological things. I would also have liked to seen the African, which I'm really bad with geopolitical history, but there's an African nation that has never been... Pardon?
You've just been rattling off all sorts of geopolitical stuff. Like, it's just, you're like, oh, I'm bad with this. Like, it's just, sorry.
we all have our own challenges and perceptions about life. But no, there's an African country that has never been colonized.
Hmm.
And yeah, it's not Ethiopia. But anyway, I would have liked to have seen what the governances came out of with non-colonial interference.
Mm-hmm.
I would have really liked to have seen what our world would be like. Just for shits and grins.
A non-colonial world.
Yeah.
That's a better way of putting it. Thank you, Nick. Yeah.
I dig that.
I'll play my girl card here and say a world in which all societies were matriarchal.
That would be interesting.
I would be
as
interested
well.
To see the difference in that, and if there would have been the same. Like, I'm just curious if there would still be the same levels of sexism, just reversed. Like, would there be that same like denigration and like less than and othering that happens if it was all matriarchal societies, or would there not be, simply because women are mothers generally? Like, you know, there's lots of. I mean, there's going to be lots of mothering, and therefore they're going to have attachments to kids in a different way. Mm. I don't know.
I can answer some of that, actually, because early
have you been there?
No. Early Celtic society, some of them were matrilineal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so women held property
yep.
and power because they knew who was the mother. And
the
there were certain Native American tribes where the women held equal status,
mm-hmm.
and there were more than a couple of genders allowed and accepted in
yeah.
the society.
That kind
of,
yeah.
So that's what... So we do have real world things, but a whole world of that?
Yeah.
I'd be fascinated.
Of course there's examples. There's non-colonial area examples too, but
right.
like that doesn't, yeah.
They're few
yeah.
and they're
exactly.
not around anymore.
Exactly. Lollipops for feet.
Is this a, yeah.
What?
Cronenberg world.
Yeah.
Is this a world that we just get to stop through, or do we end up there? Or
your choice.
Because I would be super curious to see a world where the Black Plague went through Europe and wiped out most of the white European folks.
Mm.
98% fatality.
Yeah.
Right?
Ooh, like Captain Trips.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh,
Black Plague.
Right.
Yeah.
And see,
yeah.
And see you know, what would have happened. Another one that'd be interesting to me is what if the white folks that did come over to North America weren't the religious fanatics trying to escape so they could be religious fanatics?
What if it was the cooler people who wanted to like fucking get divorced?
Yeah, what if some more laid back white folks that, you know, like could have buttons and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Those are all good, and so I have a couple of ideas, but I'll just go with what if when the Constitution of the United States was written, there hadn't been a compromise in regards to slavery.
Yeah.
Mm.
What if the...
You could just wish there wasn't slavery to start with.
Well, I mean, I could, but I'm just
gonna
I'm just going to go, let's assume that there is that there, and let's assume that the abolitionist movement is able to basically not write and ensure that slavery doesn't get written into the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
How does that change the history of America? And I mean, that's a smaller thing
mm-hmm.
than some of these other things we're talking about, but I'd still be
yeah.
interested to see how that change manifested itself
mm-hmm.
cool.
in the development of our country.
All right.
Second question, what's a food you hate?
Onions.
Like,
is that a food or an ingredient?
Food or ingredient.
Okay.
It's a
yeah,
food.
Onions. I can't. All of it. I can't stand them. So it's funny. I used to love onions. I used to love them a lot and eat raw onions and onions on everything. And then we think it might be because of when I had electroshock therapy. that it might have somehow, because right around that time, I started really hating onions, and now the smell of them makes me want to kill myself. I know that sounds dramatic, but it's not.
Around that same time period, you started, your garlic would make your mouth light up on
fire.
Yeah,
like it would burn, and then
and
I started liking
and that
garlic.
Wasn't a thing that when we started dating, but you like...
Holy crap.
It was
like
weird.
It really
got yourself back on the garlic.
Reprogrammed.
I don't know.
Wow.
That's my working theory, but I have no way of proving it, and no one will ever know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hate onions. I can't. There are never onions in this house. We spaghetti sauce has to not have onions. Anything that is like it just can't, doesn't happen.
Cool.
So any sort of like a chicken salad, tuna salad, any non-lettuce
mayonnaise-based
salad type thing. Yeah, mayonnaise-based, let's say. I hate when there is crunchy vegetation. Almonds are fine, like grapes or whatever, that's fine. I like the taste of celery in every, like, I
but it does not belong in chicken salad.
It does not belong in chicken salad. It does not belong in tuna salad. It does not belong in egg salad. Like, raw onions, fuck no. Like, it's purely a texture thing, too.
Okay.
But I love, like, slivered almonds. It's not just the crunchiness, because I like other things that are crunchy just fine. I'll eat tons of raw celery. I love this stuff. But, like, in a salad,
mm-hmm.
it fucking has no place. and I recently encountered an exception to that. And it's Molly's mom made us some...
rosemary and a chicken salad that she's been making since I was... like, I think her mom's been making it since she was a kid.
She put some finely chopped celery in it with the slivered almonds. And for the first time ever, it didn't bother me at all. And I found it quite delicious. So maybe I'm changing in that regard, or maybe it was just the total...
Our palate literally changes as we go through life.
No doubt.
That's why I started drinking coffee at 52. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't. It'll, like, like, tuna salad is just fucking ruined when you put anything crunchy in it.
Which I have discovered.
I hate tomatoes. Pretty much any raw, cooked... I do eat pizza, but if it's like a chunky pizza,
like not spaghetti
sauce. Yeah, I mean, if you have chunks of tomatoes in there, I just won't even fucking touch the pizza.
You fine with ketchup?
Is it a?
I don't like ketchup.
Oh.
Taste or texture or
it's,
both?
It's everything.
Okay.
I just hate tomatoes.
Cooked spinach.
Ah.
Raw, fine. Lightly braised, fine. Stir fried, fine.
Slimy.
Spinach lasagna or cooked spinach. It makes me gag.
Texture,
slimy,
yeah.
Texture and taste.
Yeah.
Makes me gag. All
right.
Tastes like dirt.
Cool.
Kinda.
Third one. If you had to have a facial tattoo that covers at least half your face.
Ooh.
What would it be?
Dang.
Jesus.
Okay, I'm going to go with...
Jesus, really?
Yeah. Wow, that's a bold statement, Nick.
Like,
clever.
Would he be crucified on your nose and forehead?
Yeah, I'm going to skin that crucifixion on my face.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
there is, and I don't know if this is appropriation, but there is, I want to say it's Pawnee war face paint, where it goes straight across from here, and it's like red up here, with little red dots across that. But it's dark, and sometimes blood was used. I would want that.
I would do...
it cut down on my tips, but I still don't know.
I would do stars with some sort of probably like galaxy swirling kind of thing in it. Like, I would probably do either domino mask or half mask Phantom of the Opera style would be if I had to. Boy, that's something... That's like a gun to my head situation. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Real.
Yeah.
That's what,
Gun to the head.
Not because of pain, but just because... I don't know, man.
It's just... Gun to the head, if it's going to happen, let's just tattoo on a Dr. Doom mask.
Well, you would have to... Would you keep your beard?
I mean, not
And then
the
just
tattoos.
Tattoo the top of
yeah,
it? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Yeah, because you could get away with... I don't know. Can you grow a beard over tattoo, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Mongol messengers... to sneak out certain spy maps of cities, the Mongols would send in messengers. They'd have their head shaved. They'd literally tattoo a map of that city on their head. They'd wait for about 4 or 5 months for the hair to grow out, and then they'd sneak back out. So,
neat.
I would say just it would have to be really fucking good, but you know, whatever. This is a dream scenario. like Celtic knot work. I like Celtic.
Oh yeah, that looked good.
I could deal with that.
I think a pattern is probably the best way to
do it.
There was a comedian who said he wanted a tattoo of his face on his face, but like 2 degrees off. I really like that one.
Sounds like a Mitch Hedberg thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Number four. I don't know if I've asked this one. If you could be immortal, i.e. live for more than 2,000 years, would you?
Is it perfect immortality?
Explain.
My body subject to aging?
Oh, God, no. You mean this little raising one? I'm still alive!
Can I get sick?
No.
Perfect immortality also implies, can I, like, lose a limb?
Yes. However, if you are in an explosion or, you know, fall into a vat of acid, then you're cooked.
Okay.
But, you're a lot harder.
So not Deadpool immortality.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yes. In that case, yes, because I could end it, right? Mm-hmm. I could throw myself into a vat of acid or blow myself up or whatever. Yeah. But I could also live for, like, 500 years. Fuck yeah.
Okay.
I always say I want to know what's next. That's the worst thing about the finality of death is just that at some point I won't know what happens next. So, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
At what age do I stop aging?
Well, since it's an immortality scenario, you get to choose. So you could regress yourself to a certain age and then keep going, at least physically.
This immortality sounds like a con, a pass.
Oh, man.
Feels like a monkey's paw situation. I feel like something's going to bite me in the butt.
Sounds too good to be
true.
Yeah.
If you think about immortality, Cracked.com actually did a really good treatise on immortality. You'd be good for about 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But think of all the physical changes in our own populace in the last 1,000 years. By 1,000 years from now, after that, you'd start to be looking like more of like a Cro-Magnon man or a Neanderthal around other Cro-Magnons. And after a while, after the 2,000 or 3,000 year, you'd look a little bit different.
Not to be morbid, but I'm 40. And like, to be honest, like the concept of death is relieving to me. So like, I don't think I want to be immortal. Unless Nick is, in which case I probably have to be. But...
I mean, whatever. I'd be sad to see it go, but...
Like, watch me leave.
I'd have a lot of time to get over it, you know?
I definitely would. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm endlessly curious about how humanity is going to develop. And with perfect immortality, if environmental degradation gets to the point where I think it might be going, you'd still be able to survive.
Right.
And thrive. Am I on my fifth question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there was such a thing as reincarnation, what would you do to either better your next reincarnation or worsen your next reincarnation?
Are we using rules where like animals are considered worse than humans or what's the...
I'm going off like the Hindu.
Yeah.
Can being a tiger be better?
You're saying you want to be a tiger?
I want to be a tiger. So my question is, what do I have to do?
Whose dick do I have to suck to become a tiger around here?
I'd have to devolve.
Yeah.
To be a tiger.
Yeah.
I'd kick some cats.
You know what? You might want to...
Sorry, kick some dogs. Oh. I'd kick some dogs, because if I kick cats, I'd end up as a wolf.
How about this? Because I'm just pulling this stuff out of my ass. You'd have to go to India and interrupt a tiger hunt by nobility and kill the nobility. That would probably bring you back as a tiger.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
All right.
Like, what's considered better than human? I'm just curious. Like, what sorts of things are...
Unfortunately, with Hindu, it's caste and economic status.
Yeah.
So your next step up, you'd be a...
A
whiter, blonder girl.
Well, you'd be prettier, however that determines. You'd have more money, and you'd come from more of a class. And eventually, ultimately, you would hit the avatar version of yourself, and then you would just ascend.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that this is what I have to...
Would it be an airbender avatar or a waterbender avatar? I'm sorry. Anyway.
Technically, an avatar is a bender of all elements, too. Get it together.
I know it is.
So I'm guessing in order to be a mountain goat, what I probably need to do is go mountain climbing and maybe, like, push someone off a cliff. Right? Like, does that sound like a bad thing I would do that would then get me sent to the mountains?
Sort of,
in the Tony Miller versions of reincarnation,
sure.
You'd have to put climb up behind carefully while you're eating grass and then push him off a cliff.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll do that. It'll be a stranger that I'll do it to,
and
though.
If you're a member of Trump's current cabinet, that'd be awesome.
I feel like that would give you a better person.
Yeah, yeah, it'd have to be someone good.
Yeah.
I don't want to reincarnate, so I guess I'll just go skip right to Avatar State. Because being reincarnated as another person or as an animal sounds very tedious. Yet immortality, signed me
right up,
you know?
Ghosts,
I don't know.
I feel like probably don't have a whole lot of sense of self or like existential dread, so probably I would be pretty happy until I died.
But then you'd reincarnate as a person if you lived as a good goat.
I'd
and
be the
to
worst
get another
goat.
Chance.
I would headbutt all the other goats.
If I could, I'd try to figure out and reincarnate as me.
Mm.
Ooh.
I really like me.
Interesting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just involve doing
I couldn't.
You?
Well, I'd have to finally balance it out.
Yeah,
because if we got
to
too much
you,
better, then I'd be, you know, the total
really
avatar.
Well, but sometimes really badly.
Like an ethical neutral.
Yeah.
You'd have to, yeah.
This is very puzzling,
too.
And we don't have time to go any further.
That is a good one.
Thank you for your 5 questions, Tony. And
yay!
As always, for being a guest on Geeks Without God.
It has been fun.
I'll remind our listeners, you can send us in your 5 questions. You can challenge us to these kind of weird conversations yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what 5 questions is about. You send us your 5 questions, and we will answer them. You can, when you send in the questions, you can send us your answers. You can answer your own questions.
You can attach rules to your questions, not unlike Tony has done.
Really?
Where you can...
Yep.
With stipulations and guidelines.
Remember that one
rules.
Rebecca Fox did with us and we had to be like on a D&D quest?
I know, really obnoxious,
like,
fucked up rules.
Yeah.
That's fine. So thank you so much for listening. I'm going to remind you about our Patreon. You can listen to our episodes early. We will very soon have an episode up where we try to make a Ouija board work.
Yeah, we're going to summon something.
And
probably.
If horror movies are to be believed, the very fact that we don't believe in a Ouija board means we're all going to die.
I'm going to taunt.
We're all going to die eventually.
I'm going to taunt the demons before we start.
Yeah.
Because that is, and then Nick and I are going to do it real
quick
before.
I'm going to smoke while we Ouija.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to wear a bikini.
So that's going to be exciting, but you can't listen to that episode unless you're a Patreon supporter.
Yep,
so.
Truth.
Any level.
Thank you for listening. Tony, we look forward to having you back when you return to Minnesota.
Assalamu alaikum, inshallah.
I don't know what that means. Anyway.
Alaikum salam.
Yes.
Salami's delicious. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, this meatloaf sure is delicious. Is that atheism I taste in there?
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
He doesn't bury his poop some for some reason. I don't know why he thinks he's better than everyone else.